This morning, we're looking at building the basis or building the foundation for a Thanksgiving life. So that means you have turkey every week. No, we're building a life for Thanksgiving every day. Now, you can be like the lady I heard on the radio, I think it was a couple of years ago. She called up the talk show host and says, well, how do we prepare a turkey? And that was Thanksgiving Day. And she says, well, you know, he starts talking about, pulling the stuff, you know, pulling all the stuff that's inside out of the bird. She says, well, I just got it out of the freezer. Sorry, you're not having a turkey this day, this Thanksgiving Day. So there are certain things that you have to do to set things up for Thanksgiving. And one of them is you get the turkey out early if you're having turkey, thaw it out. And the next thing is get all that stuff out of the inside, because there's all kinds of stuff on the inside that needs to be pulled out. So keep that in mind. So, and I'm certainly not an expert on stuffing a bird. So today we're looking at Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, or let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west and from the north and south. So we look at these things, and the Bible is telling us, and the psalmist is telling us, we each have a story. Everyone has a story. And your story is important as to how God intervened in your life and how God has brought you from one place to another. And in giving thanks, the psalm presents the message that of what God has done for us. So in the song that we just sang, that what God has done for his children and how God has provided for us in all of our situations. Now, if you don't think you've been provided for, you're still here. You're not starving to death. You're living. You're alive. So no matter what's going on in your life, God is with you, and he is taking you one step at a time. God does withhold what we deserve. We deserve punishment for our sins. But what God gives is not what we deserve. He gives to us grace and mercy. So he gives to us grace and mercy to help us have a better grip on life, to help us to understand that God is taking us, leading us somewhere. Psalm 107, a few highlights of it is, give thanks to the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let them declare his works and with rejoicing. Praise him in the company of the elders. So let no one, do not allow anything to come between our thanksgiving and God. We cannot allow an obstacle to come between us and God. Well, why wouldn't we thank God? Well, look at this. Well, we're not going to look at that. We're going to look beyond it. Israel is commanded to praise the Lord, and the psalmist declares praise and thanksgiving is to be more than a command. It is to be an attitude of the heart, that we are to be thankful people. We are to be grateful individuals. Thanklessness, remember that from last week? Thanklessness is a trait of unbelievers, because they have nothing to be thankful for. You know, if you listen to some individuals, they have very little good to say. Everything is something negative. Everything has a negative connotation that's not going to work. They've got this wrong with them. They've got that wrong with them. This is wrong with the country. This is wrong with the neighbors. You know, all those types of things. But I'm going to read 107 again, and just we'll just kind of picture this as the psalmist writing about Israel and about how that they're being inspired by God to draw attention to the people about how faithful God is. He says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because God is good. His love endures forever. Can't take it away. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those who have been saved redeemed, brought back, brought out of bondage. So it would have been like Israel being brought out of Egypt and in the desert, then being brought out of the desert into the promised land, then confronting the enemies of the promised land and conquering them. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what God has done for us. Verse 3. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and south. Now, we see this in the ancient Israel coming through the desert. But think about what has happened since World War II with the nation of Israel. That God has gathered them from the lands, from Europe, from Americas, from South America and Africa. God has drawn the Jewish people from all over the lands and brought them back to Israel. Some wandered in the desert wasteland. So that's talking about how that they were in the desert for 40 years, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. God delivered them from their distress. See, but where, how, what preceded that? They cried out to the Lord. You see, if we put problems between us and God, we're focused on the problems. This is what's wrong with life. This is what's wrong with our nation. This is what's wrong with our neighbors. This is what's wrong with our family. This is what's wrong with you. That's, you know, nothing wrong with me. But there's just things wrong with, well, remember, we cry out to the Lord and he delivers us from our distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. He brought them into the promised land, and they would live in cities that they did not build. They conquered the land and drove out the inhabitants whose iniquity was full. So it wasn't like they were just being picked on. They had sinned to the extent that their iniquity was full, and Israel was to drive them out of their land. So God's provision comes in many ways. How does he provide and see us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you." He's talking this about God. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." See, when we look at these things, we would not think of weakness as something to be boastful about. But what has happened, and hopefully we can paint this picture for us this morning, about how that Paul is seeing something, but yet seeing something different. He's looking at the difficulties, and he's saying, God's grace is greater than my weakness. Okay? So we would complain about our weakness, because that's what we see. We would complain about the problem, because that's what we see. And Paul is saying that what we see is not the end. God's grace is greater than what we're looking at. What we have been confronted with or been, you know, Bob Parris would talk about, he was a contractor, and he would talk about whenever they were putting roofs on and stuff, that they would be, that's when they used nails instead of staple guns. And they would, they're pounding nails along the shingles and stuff. And then they would nail the guy's foot to the floor, and then he would keep going. I thought that would be funny. Yeah, I remember Bob, that would be Bob. You know, he'd nail the guy's shoe to the roof, and, you know, they could have moved, and he's moved on down. You know, so I thought that would be funny. So it was funny to me. So he says, "For that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness." So Paul sees that his weakness is something that he can draw upon Christ. He can draw upon the strength of Christ. So being thankful is finding sufficiency in Christ. I am thankful for this difficulty. Now, he's not saying he's dancing around, you know, "Oh, I got this difficulty." No, he's not that kind of thankful. He is thankful that God is with him as he faces the difficulty. There's no one, and every one of us is going to face difficulties. differing in extremes and differing in all kinds of ways, unique to your life, your personality, your strengths, your weaknesses. We're all going to face them. So the challenge is, can I really thank God for this weakness? Because in thanking God for what I perceive as a weakness, I am asking God for strength, and I'm also declaring that I have faith that God is going to help me. In verse 7, that is the thorn, you know, when he is writing these verses in verse 7, that this thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I become exalted above measure. So Paul has this messenger who is buffeting. And buffeting is not like a buffing issue, you know, shining it up. No. Buffeting means pounded or knocked. So when Paul is saying that this messenger of Satan, it's a spiritual thing which has come to Paul, and Paul has prayed 3 times, God, take this thing away from me. Take this buffeting away from me. And, you know, I'm tired of it. But Paul always says God's grace is sufficient. So he was tempted. Paul had a temptation. You've got to understand, Paul was a brilliant, brilliant man. He was probably the intellect of his society. He would, if he had stayed as a part of the Jewish council and so on, that he would have been the high priest. He would have been the highest ranking Jew in Israel. He was that gifted. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus changed his life. So here is this man who is this genius of an individual, and he now understands how that the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ, and how the Christ has come to redeem us and save us from our sins. So Paul is an orator, he's a speaker, things come to him naturally, things come to him by the Spirit. He spent 3 years being taught by Jesus, taught by the Holy Spirit. He was off in the desert, and he was near these different communities, they point out, and he was just taught by God. So Paul could have become, I'm Paul. And God gave this Spirit, allowed the Spirit, this evil spirit, to buffet at him. Why? So Paul would remember, it's not about you, Paul, it's about me. So Paul had to be able to look at the things that were going on in his life and say, I thank God for these things. Now, Paul's attitude towards this buffeting that caused him problems, he says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities. Okay, not dancing. but he is able to see a divine good in these things. Now, before I talk about this next story that I saw, please don't get upset with me. There's a point to it. So, Elon Musk walked into this is one of those videos. Now, according to this story, okay, that he walks into this coffee cafe in San Francisco, and he goes up to the counter and he sits down. The place is full, and the waitress walks up to him and says, and Elon had this MAGA hat on, and the waitress walks up to him and says, we can't serve you. We reserve the right not to serve people, certain people, okay? And he doesn't say anything. He's looking around. He's looking at the restaurant and so on. Then the manager comes out, the owner comes out and says, we reserve the right not to serve people, and we're going to ask you to leave. So, again, he's looking around, and he's looking at, this is a renewable resource restaurant. They have their own coffee grounds, free trade. They have all these latest electronics and coffee makers and AI things and all that. And he's really caught up with the restaurant. He's not caught up with you, we're not going to serve you. So the next day, he comes back with 8 black Teslas. And full of scientists. He walks through the door with all of these scientists, and the people recognize who he is. And he said, I want to study what you've done here and use this as a model for how that we can put this in other places for renewable resources. So when they were telling him, we don't want to serve you, he wasn't paying attention to that. He saw beyond it. Okay? Now, and that's the story that goes with that. But so it kind of fit in, for me, it fit into the idea that when we face difficulties, what we're facing often isn't what we need to be paying attention to. We don't serve you. But he was not worried about not being served. He was looking at this building and looking at the renewable resources and all the posters they had about how that they, you know, the solar energy and, you know, all those types of things. That's what he saw, not the buffeting or the we don't serve you. And then they have established, since then, they have established this program where they can help relate and build these types of things. And so what one didn't understand, they soon began to understand, but because someone was not offended to the point of walking away. Now, I would have used one of my stories, but I don't have any. It's always when somebody puts me down, you know, we don't serve you here, I get up and leave and I'm really mad. You know, I don't see beyond that. But but the idea is what Paul is putting here, and that's what we're to look at. There, Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Paul was beaten. He was stoned, drug out of the city for dead. He was beaten with rods a number of times. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was a day and a night floating in the deep. You know, and he didn't have one of them beepers on him looking for a helicopter. You know, he was, you know, all these difficulties, and he says, in all these things, I give thanks to God. Because he could see spiritually beyond the obstacle that was in front of him. Giving thanks is our way of asking God to help us see beyond the obstacle that is in front of us. And giving thanks is actually seeing God's hand on our life to help us deal with the infirmities, deal with the obstacle, and whether it's the devil himself or just the neighbor, whatever it is that is the obstacle, God can help us deal with it in a spiritual healing way. So, for when I am weak, Paul says, he's pointing to the sufficiency of Christ in his time of need. So when I say I am thankful and that I am believing for the sufficiency, Christ is sufficient, Christ is more than what I need for me to deal with this situation. And, you know, and again, I don't know the validity of the story, but it looks like that for Elon at that moment in that position, he didn't see the obstacle. He saw something greater than the obstacle. He saw something that could help this person and help other people establish this type of restaurant, this coffee shop that was totally self-sufficient and self-sustaining and using renewable resources. He saw that instead of, we don't serve you. And in our life, the obstacles that we face, like I said, they can be people, they can be difficulties, they can be losing your hair. I mean, it's a hard crowd today, let me tell you. I'm going to have to get a sign, joke, laugh, you know. So, also, I was listening to this Digging for Truth, and it's an archaeological segment that comes out, and sometimes they not only dig, you know, like in certain areas, dig in the dirt, you know, in Israel and so on, but the one guy that was there, his was the top 10 reasons that Jesus exists that are not written in the Bible. See, because some people say that Jesus, you know, he really, you know, you can go to the Bible, but he's not written anywhere else. It's not true. This individual came up with 10 different writers at different times, and they had to be written within the first and second century. And the one that I wrote down here was Tacitus, and that was in 116. And what he did is he wrote about these individuals that he interviewed, who they themselves had spoken with individuals who had seen Jesus alive after the resurrection. He documented that. That's in documented Titicus, and it's in his writings, written in 116. And he talked about how that this group of people, this peculiar group, believed in their leader being resurrected from the dead. Titicus wrote that in 116. So whenever we're reading about the Bible, and we're reading about the encounter that people have with Christ, there is extracurricular, there's extra biblical records of Jesus, his actions, his followers, and the things that happened after Christ died and rose from the dead. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So being able to sit there, and I don't mean to keep going back to Elon, because I'm not saying he's, you know, perfect or anything, it's just what this story is. That going back to that situation, he's sitting there and he's told that we're not going to serve you. Okay? In our life, how many things come to us in that manner that we're not going to do this for you? Okay? Can we see beyond that? Like Paul, when he's being beaten and dragged out of the city for dead. Can he see beyond that? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. That I'm beaten, and the only reason they left me is they thought I was dead. Okay? So Paul he's able to look at this and say, this is the will of God. God, his mercy and his grace is sufficient for me to be able to deal with this. Now, Paul had a history. Paul's history was he killed Christians when he was Saul of Tarsus. He stood by and held the coats of the people stoning Stephen, who was the first martyr. You see, Paul was a person bent on killing and snuffing out the Christian faith. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. And in our life, everything changes when we meet with Jesus. And Jesus is the sufficient grace and mercy for our life that, like Paul, was able to understand that they reject this message and they're willing to kill me for this, but God's grace is greater than this abuse. God's grace is greater than this seeming failure and rejection. You see, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that brought that though he was rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So when saying that, when let the poor say, I am rich, it's not saying that, well, you know, money's coming my way. We're in the money, No, that's not what it is. That it's saying to us that the riches of heaven are greater than any riches on earth. And let the poor, those who are poor in spirit, let them recognize there is a richness that comes by God, by the Holy Spirit, into our life. And so when I'm saying I'm poor, but in Christ I am rich, I've got richness that flows into my life through God, and what happens is I am being thankful for that even before it shows up. Even in the rejection, I find I can be grateful. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. I'm not thankful that Paul's not saying, I'm really glad that they beat me up and stoned me after death. No, I am grateful that even though this has happened to me, God is greater than this stoning and this problem that I face. You see, it's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual truth that fills our heart. It's a spiritual truth that fills our life, and that spiritual truth is an anchor. It's like having your shoes nailed to the roof. It's an anchor. You know, you're not falling off, but you're not moving. But in your life, that we are anchored in Christ, and that Christ is capable of holding us in the deepest and most difficult times. You know, Jesus, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The things that hurt you hurt him. He knows what it is like to have physical weakness. His temptation, 40 days in the desert. And, you know, he's fasting for 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, Satan tempts him. What are you most hungry for? Bread, something to eat. Eat this, turn this stone into bread. You can do that. No, no, no. You see, Jesus understood that who he was and who he is greater than the temptations that faced him. That's why it's important that we give thanks, because God is greater than the difficulties that we face. And in everything that we do, God can help us. God is there to assist. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So we are weak. We're not capable of doing it all, but it doesn't mean we sit around and do nothing. You know, hey, well, you know, hey, God, come on down here and fix this, you know. There is no temptation, no physical ailment, no spiritual confrontation that Jesus has not faced, and he knows exactly where you're at. That's why giving thanks is so important in our lives. We need to be grateful people. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for participating. Thank you for your love for one another. Thank you that there's a place in your heart for more people than just yourself. You see, our lives, to fill our lives with gratitude, is declaring that God has a higher plan for our life than the difficulties that we face. This is not about us, it's about God in us. God has a higher plan, a greater plan for your life than anything that we thought we could come up with. It's greater than who we are, it's greater than what we're doing. You see, there is someone greater than ourselves who is with us. It is Jesus. There is a greater purpose for our life than just serving ourselves. It's being part of the body of Christ, and that we are serving the entire world through Christ, through our prayers, and through our gifts, and through the things that we do. You see, like Paul coming to the realization that his thorn in the flesh was a spiritual one. His thorn in the flesh, he wanted rid of it because it kept bothering him. But God, Christ says to him, I put that there for a reason. I let that there so that you would recognize you need me more than you think you do. That's Paul the Apostle. So in our own lives, how does God remind us that we need him more than we think we do? He allows us in our normal life to face obstacles. We don't serve your kind here. That's unexpected. You know, richest man on the planet. We don't serve your kind here. And he's not listening to that. Look at around here. He changed their lives, and he changed the whole approach that they had, and that restaurant was changed to a whole idea of not SpaceX, but the whole idea of renewable resources, and how that it took what they were doing and took it to a new level. And in our life, I think God is like that in our life as we face difficulties with him. He's going to take us to a new level. Do not be anxious, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. If we rearrange that verse, we could say, with thanksgiving, present your anxiousness and your worries. With thanksgiving, present your anxiousness and your worries to God. Because in every situation that I'm praying about, I'm going to be thankful that God will take these things and he will give me peace. Think about that. That with thanksgiving we present anxiousness and worries. Thank you, God, for my anxiousness. That's a good way to start. Thank you, God, for my worries. Why? Because we know we are depending on someone greater than ourselves. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It's important that we realize because there is difficulties doesn't mean God is someplace else. Because we have a broken heart over some event, God is there. He is close to those who have a brokenness in their spirit. And God is closer to you when things are difficult than because God is never so far away as to be just near us. But the understanding is when we have a brokenness in our spirit, we need to realize God is there. He's not someplace else. He's not busy. He is there. We could say when things are at their worst, God is at his closest. So giving thanks is not only when things are going good, but remember, even when things are looking bad, God is there. He looks beyond my faults and he sees my need. Look beyond what we feel or look beyond what is said. What is God saying? What is God saying? Giving thanks is the window to see what God sees. Giving thanks is the window we look through. This is the obstacle. This is the difficulty. We don't serve you. Giving thanks puts a window there we can see through to the other side. God is here. What does he want me to learn from this? What strength does he want to give me for this difficulty? Don't pay attention to the rebuttal. Don't be caught up in the emotion of the moment. Be caught up in the thanksgiving to God and just sit still and know that he is God. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west and from the north and the south, they're gathered together. For what reason? We're here to praise the Lord. So this Thanksgiving, remember, be grateful in all things. Face the difficulties with thanksgiving. Know that no matter what the obstacle, there's a window to see beyond it. God's grace is sufficient for every situation. Amen? Amen. We get the point? Give thanks. Jesus, we thank you that you are greater than any difficulty. You are sufficient for every problem. You give your grace and your mercy in abundance to us. We are more than capable of dealing with any situation because of you being here with us. So we ask for your wisdom and guidance. We ask for your blessing, the hope, the strength that comes from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we do thank you for this Thanksgiving that is coming. Amen. Amen.